am reading, this is Summer 1960. It's the intro to, where's my timer? It's the intro to my novel called The Lady Business, and this is called Summer 1960. Okay. When we were kids, we lived in a city neighborhood where the blocks were divided by alleys. A gravel lane just one car width wide, overgrown with weeds and lined by an odd assortment of fences, the alley was a playground where we threw snowballs in winter from behind trash can barricades, scaled garage roofs to plant imaginary flags, and slew monsters hiding in the concrete incinerators behind each house. We met each morning in the alley behind Mrs. Gundy's house, where the scent of lilacs bulging over her back fence mixed with the rancid odor of pet feces and rotting vegetables. We sniffed our way into our neighbors' lives, learning to know them by the smells that clung to their garage, floated out their kitchen windows, or wafted through the air from fragrant backyard gardens. We recognized Mr. Hopwood's house by the fumes of gasoline and oil that enveloped his garage and the stench of the chewed-over cigar that was ever present in his mouth. His hobby was repairing old cars, so we never saw his face, just 2 feet sticking out from under a car, in scuffed black work boots with yellow laces. We pitied Mrs. Block's family, imprisoned in the stink of cooked cabbage, Brussels sprouts, and fried onions that wrinkled our noses and unfortunately seemed part of the Block's daily menu. We basked in the fragrance of sweet peas and honeysuckle that wafted from Mrs. Goldberg's garden along the back fence, where we'd hide to watch her teach modern dance to a group of women outfitted in black tights and leotards. We envied Carol Jo Duncan, who at 17 had a red Chevy convertible that we drooled over, but we drooled even more over her boyfriend, who seemed always to be draped over her shoulder. If that convertible was parked in the driveway, we knew she was home, so we'd race to the alley and hide behind the incinerator where we could spy on the two of them necking on the back porch. One day we were shocked when the boyfriend lay down on top of her and the two began to grind together, their faces hard pressed against each other. "Ew," we all whispered. "I think he has his tongue down her throat." "Ew," we all echoed, louder than we meant to, and before we knew it, Carol Jo and the boyfriend were chasing us down the alley. The back alley was not just our playground, but a connection to our neighbors' lives that widened our world of experience beyond our own families. The back alley taught us that appearances are not always what they seem, that the sexy, blousy cocktail waitress with big boobs and garish outfits, who lived two houses from the corner and about whom all the mothers gossiped, read Charles Dickens while sunbathing in her backyard. And mean old man Moody, who shook his fist and yelled at us to be quiet, tended a bountiful vegetable garden in his backyard and cooed loving endearments to his plants. More important that summer, it was from the back alley that we learned about the differences that can divide people in more ways than physical barriers like fences or alleys can ever do, and how those differences make people behave very badly.